Hello and welcome to the Mirror Project. We are your hosts, Christine
and Alexandra,
and we are so glad you are joining us. Today, we're diving deep into a topic close to our hearts, our beloved Mother Earth. As we gear up for Earth Day on April 22nd, we're turning our attention to environmental concerns and sustainability. So buckle up because we're about to embark on an insightful journey. Let's dive into this important discussion and unpack the issues at hand.
Before we dive into today's topic, like, subscribe, or follow us on your preferred listening platform. Go ahead, pause, and do it now before you forget. Don't worry, we won't get started without you.
Alrighty, so Alexandra, why don't you kick us off and share with us what piqued your interest in this topic and these causes?
So I kind of remember it being always a part of my life. I grew up in Southern California where there was a lot of environmental consciousness, I would say. And I remember doing, if it was like a canal cleanup with my dad and his company when I was really small, but I would say I really came to about in high school. My AP world history teacher had shared information about a group called the Surfrider Foundation, and I got involved in the local chapter there in Huntington Beach, and I loved it because we got to clean up some beaches because there was so much waste. I mean, cigarette butts, needles, all the things. So it was really cool to be part of a group, and they also talked about things like collecting rainwater and rain barrels. And so there was a lot of definitely that influence on my life in Southern California. And in high school, there's a huge ordinance in, I think, Orange County that was ban the bag. So we weren't allowed to get plastic bags at markets or anything. So if you did, I think they charged you like 10 cents or something a piece until it was really almost habit and for people to bring their reusable shopping bags. So that was really cool. And then I think when I was starting to go off into college is when I heard more about the zero waste movement. And that was so cool to me. I was like, this is so awesome that people are like trying to live their life without plastic, because like how dependent is our life on convenience? And a lot of that comes with plastic. So I think that's where I really got my start. But, you know, I love the planet that we live on and want to take care of it. So I think that's always been near and dear to my heart. What about you, Christine? How did you get started?
Well, thinking back, I think, you know, the ways in which I first got involved really started. I was a Girl Scout growing up. I went through the whole thing. I got my Gold Award, which is the highest award that you can receive as a Girl Scout. And, you know, I think back fondly on my time with that organization and with the group, my troop. And we did so many fun and different things. And as you were talking about what you got involved with, it made me remember different beach initiatives we helped with when I was a Girl Scout. And one in particular was protecting, it was an initiative to protect our beaches, because I think about the first time I went out to California with you and seeing, that was my first time on the West Coast, and seeing the beaches you have out there. And I kid you not, I looked at where the land ended and the ocean started, and looking at that beach, and I was like, that's a mile long. Because
can you imagine what it was like for me to go to New Jersey and go,
where's
the beach?
I know.
And then the whole thing of paying to get onto the beach was just wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to New Jersey. There are maybe two beaches in New Jersey where you don't have to pay to get on the beach, but they get you elsewhere. I think you have to pay like $1 million to park near the beach or whatever. But yeah.
I mean, we paid for parking at the beaches in California, and it was different between city or state beach. But, you know, hey, if you could park far away and walk, you did.
And yes, similar case here because, well, New Jersey, we're a smaller state. It's hard to get a prime parking spot. Luckily, you don't have to park, at least in the beaches I grew up going to. But the beaches here in New Jersey are like not even – they're less than half the size of the beach I saw in California, in Huntington Beach. I was like, oh my God, I like my beach because I won't be exhausted by the time I get out there. And, you know, just going to the – a little bit of a tangent. Going to the beach is already such a production. Like, you got to bring all your stuff and you got to make sure you have a lunch or snacks or because you're essentially moving out onto the beach for the day. Anyway, I digress. Thinking about the beach initiative we got involved in, which was because our beaches are small, where we want to try and protect our beaches from erosion, essentially from the ocean. And mm-hmm. I remember fondly going out and planting seagrasses into dunes because another thing, because the beaches are so short here in New Jersey, we build up dunes to protect the land. You know, mm-hmm. they're an okay first line of defense, but, you know, things still happen. I think back to her.
Definitely.
Superstorm Sandy, which don't know why they downgraded it from a hurricane because that's essentially what it was, but we call it Superstorm Sandy. So that's sort of one of the first memories that came to mind when we first started talking about this. And a lot of what sort of spurred my interest in environmentalism and learning how we can take care of our earth better really did start with the beach for me, because I love, mm-hmm. as I was just talking about, I love going to the beach. It's one of my favorite places to be. And I agree. I want to take care of our earth, because if we take care of her, she'll take care of us. So that's where.
Can I add one more story too?
Go for it.
You know, we both talked about the beach, but my grandfather used to have a house up in Lake Tahoe on the California side, because it splits Nevada and California. And until we just got talking, I really didn't think of it as, oh, this is an environmental thing. But I remember learning Southern California, like I feel like there was constantly a drought when I grew up. We had like El Ninos, and then there was the Santa Ana winds. So it was very dry and windy. And like during, I guess for lack of a better term, fire season, like air would get kind of ashy and clouded and hard to breathe. But going up to the mountains, something very common, I feel like, in Southern California was the idea of Smokey the Bear. And he talked about fire safety and wildfire. Yeah. And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh, that's not super environmental, but it kind of is, right? Because it's how we as humans behave and what we can do to not accidentally cause wildfires. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like fully putting out your cigarette butts and properly disposing of them, or don't leaving fires unattended. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think of, I don't remember when it was, but maybe during COVID, do you remember seeing that couple that was in California and did one of those gender reveal parties, and it set off a smoke thing and it ended up catching fire? And
oh my gosh, I did not see
it that. Got picked up. Yeah, it got so big. I think there was a couple like property destruction. I don't know if people were hurt, but it was massive. And I was like, seriously, I feel like that was the silliest thing to do in Southern California with all of that messaging from childhood, you know, drilled into us. So
that made me think of that.
Yeah. Well, to your point, like I notice now when I check the weather every day, especially when we get into the summer and it gets drier, you know, they're constantly telling you when to not light a fire because of the wind or how dry it is. Like brush fires are so damaging. Like it really takes no time at all to have a devastating fire catch. And then speaking to your point about education, for me growing up, like you growing up in Southern California, Smokey the Bear, I remember growing up here in New Jersey, not so much when it comes to wildfires, but at least in the school I grew up going to, like education around recycling was really big, and learning what recycling is and what those numbers mean on the bottom of your plastic tin or containers and things like that. And as I've gotten older, learning how misleading that all had been at one point. And I don't know about you, but it certainly was a little discouraging for me, but it has impacted how I look at moving through the world going forward, talking about the plastic bag initiatives that you had in place when you were a kid growing up. That hasn't hit New Jersey until a year or two ago. Like there are now no plastic bags here in New Jersey, but I, you know, whenever I order in food, I feel like, try not feel super guilty about all of the plastic containers, takeout containers I now get. And I try and hang on to a couple of them just to reuse them or recycle them properly. But it certainly has opened my eyes a lot, diving in more, learning more about what it means to recycle, what lies the government has shared about recycling, and then too, also thinking, you know, there's many around the world, but in the last, I want to say, 5 years, learning about the great Pacific Garbage Patch off the coast of California, and just mm-hmm. how at times that has made me feel a little hopeless. But then I read about these wonderful organizations like the Ocean Cleanup Initiative, who are like pushing every day to clean up the mess we have made. And that just makes me want to focus on like, okay, how do I not keep contributing to this issue? How do I make the small changes? And
definitely,
I think that's where I sort of find myself today. Mm-hmm. And I love that we're talking about this, because I think we need to talk about it more.
Yeah, I was going to say, I definitely think that this is something that should be a recurring topic here in this space, because I would love to hear from our listeners, like what they're interested in, and or if today we miss something that they want to hear about, that we can kind of connect with other people. And as you said earlier, start to make the changes with ourselves.
Yeah.
To start with, you know, it's a step forward. But yeah, so Christy, where are you in your journey today with this? Like, what's up with you? What are you doing? Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, I'm going to make this disclaimer. I don't know nearly enough about this mm-hmm. issue. So I want to continue to learn more about it. I certainly try to make those small changes. I have my reusable bags with me whenever I go to the grocery store. I've tried to eliminate plastic as much as I can from my day-to-day. Like, even when I'm like in the kitchen cooking, storing things, I'd rather have like glass containers, things that'll, you know, have a longer life, and like carrying around my water bottle rather than buying a plastic bottle. And I think about, you know, every time I go out to eat, I'm happy that people have made the switch from plastic straws to a different, more environmentally conscious one. I hate the paper ones, but
fun fact.
Yeah.
Those are actually not super environmentally friendly.
Is it because the they're paper covered straws. In like a their mm-hmm. coating?
So they are not recyclable. Yeah. And they're not great. So are you they know, composed, like, metal or silicone or
no.
I don't
not
think
very well.
The paper part might bite, but the coating is yeah. the problem. So I think like things like glass or metal.
There's even
I think I've seen bamboo straws, silicone.
Yeah. And then I think even like straws that you can now get at Starbucks, I could be mistaken, but they might be made with biodegradable materials. Like it's not a paper one. Yeah. But, you know, those are small little changes. And then sometimes I even just opt out, I don't need a straw at all. Anyway, so those are some little changes I focus on. That's where I find myself today. But what about you, Alexandra?
Oh, wow. Okay. So like Christine, I don't know nearly as much as I would love to know. And I am not 100% perfect at any of this. And I think I kind of get into that guilt cycle of like, oh, I didn't do this one thing this one time. So I ended up with a plastic cup from Starbucks and straw, and like, oh, shoot. You know, so kind of going, hey, you know what? Once in a while, not the biggest deal in the world, just every day. And I think part of it too is feeling comfortable being the person that people will kind of like give a weird look to when you come up with your own cup, which is getting more and more common now. But I still feel like there's times where people are like, what? And like, I'd love to feel confident and comfortable bringing my own containers into the grocery store to pick out like deli meats mm-hmm. instead of getting it in the plastic bag. Mm-hmm. Kind of just doing that. So that is something I want to work on, and where I'm currently at is that I really want to do this and I'm dedicated to doing it, mm-hmm. but not feeling comfortable or confident doing it because it's so weird. It's so out of the thing. And that's yeah. has more to do with my own, you know, my own shit. But one thing I do love is I hate plastic utensils and stuff. Like I just dislike them, but I think I want to get another set. I have a set of reusable silverware. So I have one in my lunch bag that I bring to and from work, and it's got a set of chopsticks, two different straws, like a straight and a angled one, mm-hmm. knife, fork, spoon, and oh, straw cleaner. So I'd love to get another one, and it comes in this nice handy dandy pouch mm-hmm. that zips. And yeah. so Sometimes when I don't have my reusable coffee cup with me, if I go across the street from work to pick up a coffee and it's an ice drink, I'll get the plastic because I believe those are typically more recyclable than you can't recycle the paper cups from hot coffee. Mm-hmm. And I'll come back to work and they're like, oh, do you want a straw? I'm like, no, I've got one at work. I'm good. Yeah. I'll use my metal straw there. And I'm the weird person that I don't want to say I'm weird. I'm the person who thinks, and when I finish a drink or something, I try to rinse out either the paper cup part and the plastic lid or all the plastic and actually properly separate like the plastic lids into the recycling and the paper into the trash. But yeah, it's really, I think part of it is realizing that it's not going to be easy. And that's where I've been for a while. Like I think I'm like, oh, I'm going to make the switch. It'll be easy. But like, no, it takes forethought and planning. And right. So really trying to think about that forethought and planning, yeah. I think is where I'm at. So trying to have stuff in my car, like I've got all my reusable bags, but maybe I should build up a car travel kit for like a collapsible coffee mug that's silicone. Mm-hmm. So like, hey, if I'm on the road, I can use that instead of, you know,
paper.
Having to take a paper cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's great. And to your point that you made about trying to not feel guilty and like that it's okay every once in a while, you're not perfect. I think that's a great point because when that does happen, it's just a reminder for you, but it shows that you're conscious of it, right? I think a lot of people just exist day to day, not really thinking about how they're impacting the world around them in a myriad of ways, but especially our environment. And I think that you and I are aligned there because every time I too, you know, end up with a takeout container or the plastic cup from Starbucks or whatever, I think about it. And I think that right there is a big first step because I don't think a lot of people think about this.
No. And it's almost like I'm to the point where I would rather have the plastic cup or container from takeaway food than the paper ones or the theoretically more environmental, because at least if the plastic gets to a recycling plant, like I know it can be recycled, mm-hmm. versus the ones with the paper with the lining, the coating that can't be recycled. Or so it is, it's very interesting to see that shift. It's like, okay, if there's going to be plastic, what kind of plastic kind of stuff? So
we didn't even touch on styrofoam.
Okay, styrofoam needs to go.
Yeah.
But like you said, sometimes it is so big and it feels kind of hopeless. But then, you know, read stories and hear things and go, okay, I can do this one small piece. Or there are people thinking and innovating new ways to use that trash in different ways.
So yeah, exactly.
I feel like that's a perfect segue into our next section where we want to kind of delve into the groups and movements and people that we've seen in the sphere that we like. So Christine, is there anything, you know, movement-wise or people that you follow, like, and love to hear from?
Yeah. So I think you're going to bring it up in a moment. So I won't bring that up because you shared a lot of his content with me. But anyway, I'll leave Alexander to share. But I mentioned it a little while ago, the Ocean Cleanup Organization. When I started first diving into learning more about the issue of the plastic in our oceans and the Great Pacific Garbage Patch and microplastics and just, ooh, went down a rabbit hole there. But the organization that I really learned a lot about and came to really have a lot of respect for and have been following over the last couple of years is the Ocean Cleanup, and seeing the work that they do and the inventions they've come up with to capture not just the big pieces of plastic that are floating out in our oceans and in rivers that end up dumping in the ocean, but the microplastic. And
I think there's even a smaller category now, nanoplastics.
Oh, you're right.
And yeah, isn't that wild?
That is so wild. I mean, there's plastic in our bodies right now. It's in our drinking water. It's on the tops of mountains because it's so small that it evaporates and then comes down. Like it's a lot.
I could audibly and visually see Christine hold it back.
Oh my gosh. So that's one I have come to mind. But how about you, Alexandra? What are some organizations or people?
Okay, so before I talk about the one that Christine had hinted at, I think one of the things that I really was excited about was the zero waste movement that I learned about kind of before I went into college around 2014. And I remember, cannot remember the woman's name, but she had the, I think her handle is Trash is for Tossers. Okay. And I remember seeing a late night interview with her on the television, and it kind of opened my world to the idea of like all of her garbage for a year fit in a mason jar kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And thought that was really cool. And I started delving more into zero waste products like toothpaste and deodorant. And that kind of led me to more of like thinking about how I live my life with more natural, for lack of a better word, but things that come more directly from the earth in terms of product skincare. And by the way, I am by no means perfect. I was a major Sephora-aholic in college, as Christine can attest to. We both love to spend time in the makeup aisle.
Yes,
and I think I got distracted by the aestheticism that seemed to come with people who were zero waste minded, and realizing that that is a very specific group of people who can do that. And if you can do that, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And like have that very, like all your trash in a single jar. And I recently, I would say more within the past year or two, have started following people on Instagram who have a different view of zero waste. It's still like zero waste, but really reusing. So like Christine, you mentioned like the takeaway food containers, like they keep them and reuse them and reuse them and reuse them. So that kind of provided a more balanced, less extreme view of zero waste.
Yeah.
And something that is more approachable for most people. And people in that space have talked about like the ideal zero waste is very hard, and in the sense that it is off-putting to people, feeling like I'll never be that, so why try?
Right.
So making it more approachable. And then since both Christine and I live in the States, I don't know where I heard this, but there's a grocer in Canada, I want to say in Ottawa or something, called Bulk Barn. And it is like you could bring your own containers and they will tear it and you can buy stuff in bulk. And it's supposed to be like a zero waste type grocery store. So there's not really any plastic or waste created. And I was like, this needs to come to the States. So that got me super excited. And as Christine hinted earlier, the person that I started following, I think it just came up on my For You feed once, was Sam Bentley. And his page is called Sam and then kind of a space in sustainable living. I think he's based out of the UK. And he talks about all these people who've come up with different inventions on how to, you know, deal with plastic waste problems or circumvent even using plastic, or just more environmental initiatives. Like I thought one that was really cool was a kind of a porous sidewalk material. And so it was supposed to help with drainage of water instead of flooding streets. But, you know, there's some limitations with that technology right now. Like cars can't necessarily drive on it, or a lot of cars. So I was like, I'd love to see a lot more of this kind of go into the different parts of the world and be adopted. And so stuff like that gives me hope. But yeah, that, oh, and with, as we've talked about before, I'm doing an MBA, and both of the classes this term that I'm taking have kind of strategic management has touched on the concept of shared, creating shared value. And then innovations has talked about the circular economy, which I think is something that definitely businesses need to shift more into, to create things that, one, use less plastic or create less environmental waste, and really think consciously about not just creating a product, but how that product will be recycled, how it will be reused, and what portion of it will end up as waste, and really thinking through the longevity of the product. And I think a shift towards that mentality will really help overall.
Absolutely.
So those are the things that get me jazzed.
Yeah. I'll just bring up one thing that you actually introduced me to back in college. The video you shared with me was funny, but it was talking about solar roadways.
Oh yeah, solar freaking roadways.
Yeah, but it was so it was one of the things in, I don't know, that one of the first things I saw in terms of like an invention that was turning something that people use every day, they drive on them every day, and using that to create energy for us rather than relying on gas or things like that. So that's just one thing that popped into my head that I wanted to share. So if anybody out there hasn't heard about solar roadways, I don't know if it'll ever become a thing, but it's certainly a fascinating one. And honestly, with the rise of LED screens, LED, like watching like the Super Bowl or something, and stages and people mm-hmm. using that technology, I don't see why we would not make the investment to shift our roadways, because living here in New Jersey, we're coming out of winter and the potholes are, they're not holes, they're chasms. My poor car. Oh. The suspension always gets banged around. But anyway, why don't we talk a little bit about what we want to see more of and what we want to see a little bit less of? Alexandra, you want to kick us off?
Oh, sure. Okay. I feel like there's so much that I want to see less of.
Yeah. And just to clarify, that's in terms of like in our environmental changes going forward and harmful ones.
So the biggest thing I would like to see is less blame going around. I think it's so easy for us to fall into the trap, the human way of blaming somebody else for the problem. Like, oh, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to fix it. And you're like, oh, it's government. Oh, no, it's business. Oh, no, it's individuals. Okay, can we just take the blame off the table and figure out a different way forward? Because honestly, what is figuring out who is to blame going to do for us? Not a whole lot, I don't think. I think it's just distracting.
I think that is 100% right. It's distracting. I think perhaps our government is using that to distract us and from keeping things moving forward. But what do I know? I'm just a little Christine living here in New Jersey. But anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's okay. And I think with that, I'd love to see more innovation of really reusing how to recycle some of the harder to recycle things. What are ways that can be, and innovation in value chains, in creating shared values between companies and local clusters of groups that can benefit economically and socially from things. So I think it's really about changing how we think about business as operating will be a major step forward. And part of this comes up with, as I mentioned, this term kind of circled around some of that stuff, like strategic management and choices that we make. The innovation class.
This is your current term for your MBA, right? That's what we're.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like deep in the trenches of this term.
Yeah. And I'm certainly learning a lot by proxy, but.
And it's kind of funny that we were talking about this, because for my innovations class, my team and I, we had to do this human flourishing innovation process around a wicked problem. And the problem that our professor set for us was develop an innovation to address single-use plastics in a company. And so we picked a company and we were looking at the plastic stretch wrap that they use in logistics and transportation, because plastic stretch wrap is one use only. Like you put it on, you cut it off, and that's it. Can't use it again. Yeah. And so much of it is used in this company that we're working with to develop an innovation for. They're like, we really work to recycle it. They pick it up and they'll bale it, and the recycling company will come get it once it's baled. He said, but that's only about, I think the person we spoke to was said 40 to 50% was recycled. So that means 50 to 60% is thrown into a trash, maybe caught into a recycling bin when the drivers are on the road. So there's so much to this process, right, to do this innovation thing. Yeah. And part of it was secondary research. So I was looking up, like, EU has, so in Europe, they have more legislation around removing plastics from business and being responsible. But there's a lot of, yeah, great, get rid of plastics, but there's very little directive on, is it the consumer who's responsible? Is it the producer? And so figuring out what is recyclable. Apparently plastic stretch wrap is recyclable, but it has to get there, kind of thing. So all this stuff around, you know, macro, micro, and nanoplastics in the environment, like we all know it's bad. So what can we do to do it? And we kind of came up with a cool invention that meets the needs of what this company needs the plastic stretch wrap to do. And coming to material, we had a whole long conversation. And I think we've kind of settled on a level two plastic. So it would be the two in the recycling, the two or three, because there's concerns of hygiene. And hygiene, you know, plastic can be very hygienic. You can clean it, you can sanitize it. Mm-hmm. But we were like, okay, if we do plastic, because we're trying to get rid of single-use plastic, what is the one that can be recycled very easily? And how can we think about the product, not just what it needs to be right now, but through its life cycle? Mm-hmm. So it was a really interesting way to look at stuff. So I'd love to see more companies thinking about their product, their packaging in that way, if not just like, what is it right now, but what will it be? I think, who is it? Patagonia is a great company. If you want to learn more about circular economy kind of stuff, they really work to say, we take only what we need. They try to work with more sustainable cotton growing and materials. And because they're an outdoor company, they found out some of the coating that they would apply to fabric to make it waterproof was toxic into the environment. So changing, you know, what would a different formula, how can we accomplish that? And differently. So I think I'd love to see more of that, just kind of thinking outside the box of what we think is possible and coming up with new ways to do stuff. But yeah, that's kind of what I'd love to see more and less of. What about you, Christine? Anything top of mind?
Oh boy. I mean, I really agree with everything you were bringing up. And I think the big thing I want to see less of is the blame, but I think it is used as a tool to distract the larger conversation, unfortunately. Thinking like globally, I was watching, I think it was, did you ever watch that Netflix docuseries with Zac Efron? I think it's like Down to Earth with Zac Efron.
I didn't watch it, but I remember seeing the trailer for it.
Okay, yeah. Each episode focused on a different thing, and there was one episode around water, and it was so fascinating because there are like how there's sommeliers for wine. There's like that equivalent for water.
Water sommeliers.
Which is so fascinating. And like you don't really think about the taste of water, but water can be very flavorful. Very different.
Did you know, Christine, that there is such thing as designer water?
I did. Yes.
Yeah. There are some companies that will charge outrageous amounts.
I mean,
for water.
Yeah, I think the one I've known the longest, I haven't really dived too far into it, but Evian, like I feel like I know there's even more fancy water.
Even a class above.
I know. I'm sure. But I just think like, you know, at the convenience store, just seeing all the different kinds of water and the different pricing. But anyway, my point is, it was bringing up the show is I think they ended up in France, and it was talking about how I think I need to learn more about what France has done, but on a environmental and sustainability level, I think they've made some really interesting changes for a city in providing clean water to anybody on the street with fountains, and even and people carry around their reusable bottles, and they're able to get clean water for free. I think it's just such a great example, one that I would love to see here in the States more, especially in major cities. So those were just some quick things that came to my mind. But before we started our episode today, Alexandra and I were diving in a bit more and on different things she was learning this semester. And I'd love for her to continue sharing things. But one of the things she had brought up was like Nespresso, Nestle, right?
Oh, yes.
I think this leans back into the circular economy point a little bit, but just
creating shared value as well.
Yeah. I think, you know, one thing I want to see more of is these major companies really putting these issues first and foremost and not thinking of it so much as an afterthought as like when it comes to corporate responsibility. And I think really instilling that into their, you know, core values as an organization and a company and making it just as much of a priority as profit is something I want to see more of. And I think those changes are being made because of the pressure that they're receiving, but I really wish it wasn't because they're receiving pressure.
Well, and I think that's really something, I read an article from the Harvard Business Review for this class for strategic management about creating shared value, and Nestle was brought up. And I think it brought up a good point, whether people agree with it. It was these two authors' opinions that corporate social responsibility is the first step. And it kind of backfires in some ways because it is reliant on external pressures, where the change ought to occur, and I would probably agree with this, is making, like Christine said, first and foremost, the thinking about the environment, thinking about social, you know, groups and peoples, and how to having that be the core of how you think about your value chain or your supply chain as well. So instead of having it, oh, if we have profits, we'll do something, but really actually making it a core. And I think there's this also concept that we've kind of gotten to that it is either, you know, capitalism is terrible, it's awful, it's all these things. I'm like, have people exploited it? Hell yes. Is it essentially bad? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. My opinion is no. But how do we shift and say, this is not all a company can be? A company can be a major driving force without government. And then, you know, what if they had the responsibility and took part of for their whole value chain of what they do? So anyway, there's so much to go in, because I don't know that government and NGOs are as good as they probably think they are. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very disjointed. And I think a more collaborative approach going forward is definitely going to be needed. But to that end, what I want to see more of is people making small steps in their everyday life. And I know we'll probably talk about that in a little bit, because I think the small stuff does matter. And it's so easy to go, well, you know, me and my takeaway containers, if I just throw it in the trash and it's plastic, no big deal. It's just me. But it's a lot of people. So I think all the little stuff matters. Mm-hmm. And that you don't have to be this perfect member of a zero waste community kind of thing with the aestheticism and this is, oh, what it looks like. And it's like sometimes what it means to be more environmentally conscious is completely finishing your products and then rinsing out the containers and properly disposing them. So I'd love to see more of that. People, you know, taking the extra few minutes to, you know, scrape out the peanut butter jar and rinse it out before putting in the recycling kind of thing. So yeah, those were the couple things I wanted to mention.
That's a great point.
But yeah, there's so much in business and, you know, government, we could totally go down the line.
This can honestly become like a mini series that we come back to time and time again. And I think, you know, one of the big things I'm looking forward after this episode goes live is that I want to see the conversation with those who listen. What are their mm-hmm. thoughts? What have they learned? I certainly, you know, I'm a sponge. I want to learn all the things. So I certainly will do my part, but please share with us what you've learned, what small changes you have made, what
any cool inventions that address something. That's awesome.
Absolutely. But yeah, so I think going forward, I'd love to hear from you, Alexandra, what sort of things you have on your mind this year. Do you have one or two things that you want to focus on for 2024 when it comes to all this?
I think the biggest things is I used to subscribe to, as we talked about, I was a little bit of a makeupaholic for a while. I used to subscribe to a lot of the subscription things. Mm-hmm. So trying to finish up products that I currently have, or finding a way to recycle, reuse kind of stuff. A mentor of mine said, like, oh, if you have old eyeshadow, you could always use it as painting. And but I think there's some like women's shelters who will take, and you can, I was reading that you can actually donate makeup mm-hmm. as long as you've cleaned it, like you can spray it with rubbing alcohol and sanitize and stuff. So really kind of going through the products that I have, and as I said earlier, finishing up what I like mm-hmm. and, you know, what I don't like,
letting go.
And so both, and think consciously about before I buy something, because I can get into the habit of like, oh, pretty, it's new, shiny, and going, maybe not the best. So yeah, so finishing up what I have, being more conscious about my purchases. What else? I think I'd love to get involved with some group, but it just, this year is crazy busy. So I think that'll be maybe a next year, a 2025 goal. And
kind of picking better products for my skin, my body, my hair, that maybe look at companies that do think about the impact on the environment and the quality of ingredients that they put in their stuff. So kind of using my individual purchasing power to make choices like that. And I know briefly forgot to mention earlier that I had moved again, still in North Carolina, but it's the second time in about less than 2 years. And something we did was we knew we were going to move again and that the last place was temporary. So instead of just getting the boxes in, chucking them, we actually put them in storage with a lot of this stuff that we had and reused it for this move. So, I mean, I think things as small as that are important to think about. I remember the other thing. Getting more confident, just bringing my reusable containers into the market and saying, can you put my, you know, deli meats and cheeses in here, or even to restaurants for takeaway or leftovers. So I think those are the really two to three things I want to focus on for the rest of 2024 and get very comfortable and have that become habit. What about you, Christine?
Yeah, I think like you were saying, Alexandra, the small changes really do add up and they're the easiest changes we can make. So just keeping that top of mind each day, I think, is something I continue to focus on and want to, you know, like with anything, people observe what others are doing. So that idea of taking your reusable container out to eat or to the grocery store, yeah, you might get a little bit of like, oh, what's she doing? But that's going to stick with them. And they're going to think like, oh, why is she doing that? And maybe it'll spark them to research into like why someone might be doing that or whatever the case may be. That's sort of like something I want to keep forward and not only changing how I do things, but may impact others around me.
Well, and to that point, I wonder if, you know, more people doing things like that. And I'm thinking of company maybe like Starbucks or big coffee chains, if more people brought their reusable cups in for hot and cold drinks, maybe they would redesign how they do service to institute more of that sustainable thing. So, you know, and what you said, like, it may look weird to people, but it would probably stick in their head going, oh, hey, maybe I should do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't mean to cut you off, Christine, but I got so excited. I was like, oh.
No, I think that was my main point of what I want to focus on. I also, one of the things I want to focus on this year going forward, just always sort of keep it in the back of my mind, is thinking about ways to hold myself and my friends and family accountable or aware of environmental causes or things that need attention, because that's the easiest way to move a movement forward, right? Is to talk about it, to educate yourself on it, to share that education with those that you know and care about. So I, like I mentioned before, the Ocean Cleanup Organization, I want to keep diving into learning more about their work and initiative and their initiatives that they're enacting around the world and sharing that with friends and family and perhaps even getting involved in my local community, because that's, you know, day to day something we all encounter is what's going on in our local communities. So I think sometimes people might get caught up in like the grand scheme of it all, but I think, you know, you really just gotta focus locally and seeing how you can help your own community.
Yeah. I like that. And I definitely know that Christine is one of my accountability partners for many things that we have talked about on this podcast. Made me think that maybe at the end of 2024 we should do a post or a recap of all the things that we said we'd keep track of.
I know. You guys will keep us honest, right? Those listening.
Yeah, I expect to fully see like comments going, hey, what about that thing you mentioned back on episode XYZ? So yeah, and then kind of maybe shifting how I do things in my home when it comes to, really, I think it's going to be, if I can do something, then maybe it'll show somebody how they can do it and kind of living by example. And I think that too, but also to share ideas, like whether it's an Instagram story that we saw that was really exciting, or a magazine article or something with people. And I love to hear about stuff. And so, you know, if somebody says something offhand, I'm like, oh, tell me more about that. Mm-hmm. Just being really curious about things, I think, will be helpful. And a behavior that I want to change is, as I said, being more confident about bringing my reusable stuff, is I want to get more assertive saying no to plastic, like no to plastic bags. Great example was yesterday when I did not say no. I was in the market, only had one reusable bag with me because I thought that's all I would need. Of course, I needed more. And they're like, okay, paper or plastic? And I was like, oh, okay, just back. I just was like trying to pay at the same time. And I wish I had said neither, just put it in the cart, I will take care of it, because I had more bags in the car. So that's a perfect example of like a behavior I want to change with myself, is not only being more confident bringing stuff, but assertive saying no, no plastic forks for takeaway food, like no to the plastic bag, no to XYZ, and just, you know, and I'm hoping that it'll become habitual, that at some point, like, it'll be different to change my patterns and behaviors, and, you know, hard to constantly keep making those choices until it becomes habitual. So I think that's something.
Yeah. But,
and I think doing that will maybe show, you know, friends and family around me that, hey, it is possible. It's not as hard as it may seem.
Yeah. All right. Is there one thing you're willing to give up or change that you haven't already? I don't know if I have an answer to this question.
Put me on the spot, Christine.
I'm sorry. It just came to my mind.
Okay. Here's one thing. I'm a bit of a coffee addict as well. So I think one thing I would like to change and give up is, if I do not have a reusable coffee cup with me for iced or hot, I cannot buy coffee. I think that might be a really good, like, economic tie to something as well. So
that's a good goal to hold yourself accountable to.
Yeah. And it's something small, because I do drink and consume a lot of coffee.
Sure.
I think that's a good pace for me to start.
All right. Awesome.
Okay. So we have only begun to delve into this monumental topic, and I'm certainly looking forward to the next time we discuss it. Did we miss something in today's talk that you wanted to hear more about? Let us know for the next time we discuss about caring for our planet. Perhaps maybe we'll even have a guest on next time. I know that there's a couple of people I would like to invite into this chat. For those listening, do you have any movement or individuals that you like to hear from or draw inspiration from? We would love to hear it. What are some of the environmental conscious goals for you this year? Share with us your stories and the innovations you have seen by commenting on this episode's post or DMing us. And don't forget to join us next week as we pack our bags to travel lands explored and unexplored. Talk then.
Enjoying the conversations we're having and the topics we're discussing? Consider supporting us through our Buy Us a Coffee page. We greatly appreciate any help in creating this podcast we love so much. Link in our show notes and Linktree. Before we end, don't forget to like, subscribe, or follow us on your preferred listening platform, and we'll catch you next time.